Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Follow the leaning protocol, eat a high-protein diet, train your fucking ass off, and you know what? To quote George Roberts' dad, George Roberts was one of my former teammates at Cal. Hey, Georgie, why don't you get a tan? Even fat looks good tan.
Yeah. If you can't tone it, tan it.
If you can't
tone it, tan it. Hey, Power Athletes. It's time for another nutrition podcast from your favorite podcast, Power Athlete Radio. Now, we're going to dive in on one of the questions from the hotline. You got this little thing called the Power Athlete Hotline, 929-464-4640. 929-ing-ing-0. And we're going to answer a question that is near and dear to my heart, which is breaking and destroying preconceived notions and especially myths and lies on the internet. The idea that you can only digest 25 grams of protein, which, as you know, makes my head feel like it's going to pop off. But before we get there, I want to let you know we're having a deal on our nutrition templates. If you use the code EATTHEWEEK, W-E-A-K, all caps, you'll get a
20% discount.
20% discount on the nutrition templates as we're putting out a nutrition podcast to try to help you guys along. So I want you guys to buckle in and prepare. And let's get into it. Welcome to Power Athlete Radio. I'm John Wilburn. I'm joined by Mr. McQuilkin and our nutrition ninjas. And for those of you who don't know, Sam just competed in her first, it's not the bodybuilding, but the classification was bikini.
Yes.
And with all, I mean, when we were at the Olympia, I was thoroughly confused.
Oh my God.
Because one, I couldn't figure out all the divisions. There was wellness, there was fitness, there was a bodybuilding. And
well, the fitness was awesome.
Yeah, no, like the girls doing the flips. Do you remember the chick came out dressed as the Joker with the cigarette and did
essentially
seven
like a one woman show? It was amazing.
Well, like that's the theatrics. And then there was, I remember the wellness girls who had like bodybuilder lowers with like thin, like it was crazy. And they were wearing heels. And then the other girls were wearing heels. And then they were posing with their hands open. And then there were other girls that had no heels. They were barefoot and they could close their fists. I don't know if you noticed all this.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Physique and bodybuilding.
So I look for differences. Like, why were those girls all wearing shoes? And why were those other girls not wearing shoes? Why did those girls have their hands open and the other girls could close their hands? So there was like, it was like wellness was kind of a mix of like bodybuilding, bikini, like all three. So I just remember I stood next to the girl Yarnisha.
Yeah.
I told you that. I showed her on Instagram. She looked like a minotaur, like half horse, half human. Like I've never seen anybody built like that. And then there were the bodybuilding girls who were like, it was so confusing. Like you really have to be in the throes of that to understand. And then the crazier part was they totally had all these fans that knew all the distinctions and were fucking into it.
Oh yeah. Like saw some gentlemen's with, like they were at a WWE event. They had their rock star t-shirts.
Yeah. Well,
so for the specific individuals, I didn't know anybody.
Yeah. Well, the one guy had a shirt that the girl was airbrushed on it.
You know, that. Oh man.
And then they had Puerto Rican flags on the back and they were just going crazy for Yarnisha.
Yeah. And the Olympia, I mean, thousands of people, it was massive. And when their girl, their star was up, you saw fanboys like clearly had seats in the back that sprinted
to the front
to get as close to the, like a camera shot on their phone as possible.
And then Dana Lynn Bailey came out. You remember she was like the first, I want to say like whatever her division was, she was the first one to win it. And she came out to present and the dude next to me started screaming DBL, DBL. And I was like, what the f-? And like, and then I figured out, I was like, oh, this is Dana Lynn Bailey. These are the acronym. And like, it was overwhelming. I felt like we were strangers in a strange land at that thing, which I'm sure, Sam, was how you felt a little bit, you know, being on like the power athlete performance side of this deal. And now all of a sudden here you are getting shellacked, you know, makeup, high heels, and out in there in a sequin bikini, and you're out there, you know, strutting it. So how was it? Did you enjoy the experience?
I did. It was, it was definitely foreign. my husband likes to joke with me that I'm half like West Side Barbell, half like showgirl. And he's like, because you can't decide which vibe you like better, which is pretty accurate when it comes to going to Summer Strong the weekend prior and then hitting the stage in a sequin bikini. But I mean, some of the girls take it really serious, and I appreciate that. And I mean, it's not just what you do that day, it's what you do the months prior to. So it's really cool to see everyone just showing up and enjoying themselves. And a lot of muscles, a lot of ego, a lot of, you could tell a lot of people this was maybe just like a bucket list item for them. I mean, they had divisions for 50 plus. So these women were in sparkly bikinis, 50 plus years old, just crushing it and flexing their muscles on stage. It was really cool.
Wow. No, I mean, it's, I know people think it's a little weird, but what I appreciate about it is people set a date and they show up and they meet their goal.
That's the important thing. They set a goal, and then it takes, as you mentioned, like maybe not a year, but it takes time for you to plan out and then lead up, which is part of the interesting nutrition question in which we have today.
Excellent. Well, this is the nutrition podcast, so why don't let's get nutrition-y?
Yes. All right.
Can we say that?
Is our question from the hotline, John. What's that number?
929-464-464-0. 929-ing-ing.
Zero. Yep. All right.
You heard it here. We have this little thing called the Power Athlete Hotline where you can leave a question, you can text it, you can send a smoke signal, you can even send a picture.
Don't do that. But
well, I mean, as long as it's PG. We don't need any 13 or R-rated because it goes to a lot. I mean, those just don't go to text anymore. So clean it up a little bit. Ask away, Mr. McWookin. Hey, Power Athlete Nation. Summer is weeks away, and you got to get that body right. Now, whether it's to pack on a little bit of muscle to fill out those pants and fill out that t-shirt, or to lean out and show off those abs by popping off that shirt, we got you covered. Now, the reason we'd like to start busting our ass now is so that we have a little bit of margin of error so that you can cut loose and not feel guilty. So what I want you to do is go check out one of Power Athlete's nutrition protocols. We got a leaning, we got a bulking, we got a keto, and we also have a performance protocol for those of you that need a little bit of extra attention or really trying to dial it in so that you look like $1 million come summer.
To learn more, head to powerathletehq.com/nutrition to find out which protocol is right for you. And we're going to give you an extra 20% off at checkout with the code EATTHEWEEK.
20%?
Yeah, that's all caps, EATTHEWEAK at checkout.
Dude, sounds good to me. Now you got your mission. You know what we're expecting. Go get it. See ya.
This is, I mean, getting summer strong. Here we go. Hi, I'm a 200-pound guy who just purchased the leaning protocol. I'm a desk jockey that likes to hit Johnny Wad. I get all 5 days in most weeks, and I'm trying to get shredded for my beach trip at the end of July. That's the goal. I have some questions about protein recommendation. The leaning protocol says eat 190 grams of protein per day. I only have time to eat 3 meals a day. That is a lot of protein each meal! Exclamation point. I have heard that you can only absorb 25 to 30 grams of protein per meal. I'm worried about this. I'm worried about this and what it will do to my kidneys. I'm not sure I want to do whey shakes. It's bothered my stomach in the past. What do I do? In the words of Rob Wolf, a lot to unpack here.
First of all,
well, let's establish the goal.
Man, let's just take a second and be like, I cannot believe.
No size, John.
I cannot believe that this myth that, first of all, this was a basically a weird projection of Barry Sears years ago that has been disproven over and over and over again. And there's also no proof that a high protein diet is negative for kidney function. Like, This myth has persisted, and I don't know where it is because I'd like to find it on the internet and burn it to the ground. So, I don't know where this, I just don't know where this myth exists. And I mean, it's nowhere around here. It's nowhere around any circle that I've ever heard. I mean, this is, and I don't even know where Barry Sears got it. And the only way I know Barry Sears said it was that when I asked Rob Wolf on this years ago, where did this myth persist? And he's like, I think it comes from Barry Sears and the Zone diet.
Should we start with kidneys?
Yeah. If you guys want to jump in on this one, I'm just flabbergasted over here.
To your point, John, for sure, there isn't really any evidence about how it does affect kidneys, especially in healthy exercising people, which, you know, obviously people in the power athlete realm are. There's even studies that are out there showing now, you know, in general, we recommend 1 gram per pound of body weight. And, you know, there are studies out there now, you know, going up to three grams per kilogram, which is definitely well over the 1 gram per pound of body weight. And it's showing no issues with kidney, liver, or even any other kind of even blood issues. So, where that myth came from, like you said, is kind of a mystery, but it certainly doesn't really show up in any of the literature of it being a problem. And especially in a active exercising and, you know, like in our cases, heavy resistance training, it does not show up at all.
So, yeah, the idea was that the body could, or at least what the contention was, because I remember years and years and years ago, we used to encounter this myth in the CrossFit circles. And the idea of you can only adequately absorb protein in a certain amount. And there was no basis for this in any way. I mean, you know, people are like, well, or... And I think it had to do with maybe like the only thing I can equate it to is maybe the zone blocks, when maybe people were like looking to zone and there was only a certain amount of protein you could consume within that zone block.
Maybe. Well, let's start with our nutrition and leaning protocol, in which the guideline is 1 gram of protein per pound body weight. My question for y'all is, why is there research behind the 1 gram? Is that our goal here? Because he's struggling with 1 gram.
So all the research when we were designing all the protocols, and really just everything going back as far as the work I did with Mauro De Pasquale, there's always been some really interesting performance gains and, more importantly, changes in body composition when you're somewhere around 0.8 grams to about a gram of protein per pound of body weight. And we've even seen it go as high as maybe a gram and a half, but I've never really seen a performance or a body composition change outside of that gram and a half. So, I mean, some of the bodybuilders back in the day used to consume 2 and 3 grams of protein per pound of body weight. But there's a really interesting piece with nitrogen retention. So if, you're on a ton of anabolic steroids, nitrogen retention is really high and you're in a real favorable anabolic environment, there was some contention that you could digest and absorb more protein. I've never really seen any research to support that, but that was just more kind of back of the envelope type stuff. But all the research somewhere around 0.8 to 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight shows being ideal for maintaining body composition. And then even when they've pushed it and they've done protein overfeeding studies where they've taken people and sediment like a high protein diet, caloric restriction, and then overfed them on protein. And even when they overfeed them on protein, they don't get fat. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of an interesting thing that people don't get fat from high protein diets.
So he's talking about a shredded goal. How does, and on the leaning protocol, so how does keying in on protein affect the rest of his diet and eventually his goal over the next 6 weeks here?
Yeah. So I think even when we start with our clients one-on-one, say you're starting from ground one or ground zero, you haven't tracked before. Rob and I both put the emphasis on staying within your calorie goal. So whether that's, and Rob is coming up with a really good blog about energy balance, so that should be out shortly. But whether you're gaining, maintaining, or leaning, it all comes down to that calorie balance. And then the most important macronutrient to work with is protein. And sometimes we will get our clients to the point where fat and carbs just kind of fall in a happy medium, because they're not as, like, all three macronutrients are important, but they're not as important as hitting that protein goal, because protein is what's going to just retain and protect that skeletal muscle mass that you already have. And then it's going to facilitate the building of new muscle mass. But protein doesn't just deal with muscle mass. It also helps. It's an enzyme. It does cellular functions. So it's not just building muscle that protein is needed for in the body. Muscle structure, all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and to piggyback on that, I think just because it does have so many functions in the body, that's really why, for our purposes, we want a higher protein. Like John said, you know, the research definitely shows that higher protein diets, you know, it retains a lean body mass. It actually does help facilitate the shedding of the fat mass as well. But you know, if you need adequate protein and probably some protein in excess to be able to build tissue, because it does have so many other functions. So, you know, the muscle building tissue, or, you know, tissue building, is going to be down the list because of the other important functions of protein. So having that excess and having that ability to call on that reserve to be able to build that tissue is what we're really looking at. And that's, I think that's one of the reasons why it does take such a big precedence in leading protocol. And when Sam and I build out programs, that's exactly why.
So. Well, proteins also has a thermogenic effect, and it's extremely satiating. So when you're in a dieting situation, if you eat a high protein diet, there's a lot less chance that you're actually going to fly off the rails. So, I mean, you know, think about it. Like, you go out and eat sushi, and like an hour later, you're still hungry. You sit down, you eat a steak, you're not going to be hungry for a few hours. So, I mean, there's some real keys in terms of like selecting different macronutrients that are actually satiating and allow you to be able to eat in a caloric restriction. I mean, if I had to eat a caloric restriction of just carbohydrates, I'd just be hungry all the time. It'd be a miserable feeling. So I actually did pull up a research piece on this. And even in the research piece, which comes from 2018, which is how much protein can the body use in a single meal for muscle building, they actually cite that there was a it was proposed years ago that muscle protein synthesis is maximized in young adults with an intake of 20 to 25 grams of high quality protein. There is no basis for this, and actually goes through the entire study and shows that they've seen ideal muscle growth somewhere at 2.2 grams per kilo or 1 gram per pound of body weight, and as low as 1.6, which is 0.8. So that's been kind of the industry standard. Obviously, you know, you can bump that up to about 1.5 grams, but for most people. And the other thing I laughed a little bit about, to consume 190 grams of protein in 3 meals doesn't seem like much of a task. I mean, what's that, about 65? I mean, like, that's, I mean.
Well, not all proteins are created equal.
Sure.
I also think that's important. So he may feel like eating too much, you know.
Well,
things with a face or a mother or soul, so he'll go and get protein bars. So,
well, so he would have to consume, I mean, that's right between 9 and 10 ounces of chicken.
What I want to get to. So can we put a specific resource together so he doesn't go just searching for the wrong kind of protein that may lead to just consuming crap?
Well, I mean, ideally, you know, we would always want to consume protein from some form of, you know, animal source. I mean, it'd be chicken, fish, steak, you know, red meat. I mean, obviously, you know, if you're trying to really eat in a caloric restriction, you have to be very conscious of overeating the red meat. And I know this because I like to eat red meat. But like, as Sam knows, if you're trying to really lean out, like, chicken is a great save because it's so low in fat that you can actually eat more of other foods. Like, when you eat a steak, you're like, well, I get my steak and like, that's it. And then, but when you get chicken, you can add a bunch of other stuff because, you know, you can throw some oil in there just to be able to balance out the macros.
I was just going to say, that was like really interesting. And the manipulation that I've gone over the last 5 months to get ready for the show it got towards the end where my calories still were relatively high. My protein was at like 160 or 170 grams a day, but everything had to come from food because we took out whey protein and collagen. A, I wanted to eat more because of the caloric deficit. I didn't want to drink my calories. Yeah. But then like whey usually has some artificial sweeteners and stuff. And so the last 2 weeks of prep, I didn't get any of those treat type foods. It was egg whites, ground turkey, and chicken, but I preferred it that way, like you said, because the volume of eating 6 ounces of ground turkey looks way bigger than eating like even a chicken breast. It was crazy. And that helped mentally kind of get through. Same with egg whites. You eat 300 grams of egg whites and you get 30 grams of protein. And so you're like, this is awesome. You just have this huge bowl of food.
Yeah. No, I mean, it makes total sense, especially psychologically.
Yeah.
So, but like eating 190 grams of protein, like that should be, well, I mean, but here's another issue. And I was really meditating on this and I was trying to explain this to my wife the other day. I don't believe, and we even talked about it a little bit on the podcast, everybody is constantly in this idea of like leaning and I got to lose fat and mm-hmm. I got to lose fat. I think it's actually the opposite problem. I think everybody's just lacking muscle because mm-hmm. The easiest way to cut your body fat is to put on muscle. And I think instead of like this idea of like, hey, I need to like, you know, like let's say this guy's 200 pounds and he's trying to lean out. Like what if he put on 5 or 10 pounds of muscle? It's amazing. Like I would rather... I would rather be more muscular at 205, 210 pounds than skinnier at 190 pounds. So I think a lot of times, and you guys have seen this, when all of a sudden we lean people out and you start pulling fat away, all of a sudden, like what's underneath is not well built. So I almost am in this idea where like, you know, we've talked extensively on the podcast, this idea of like, you know, if you want to look at an actuary chart and understand like the longest form of survival, it's the person that's able to maintain or maintain muscle mass the longest, mm-hmm. or the person that, you know, and metabolic flexibility also too, the person that's able to maintain the most amount of muscle in relation to body fat. Well, I mean, if all you're constantly doing is trying to strip away body fat, I don't know if that's the better approach. And I know we sell the shit out of the leaning protocol and everybody's in this idea of leaning. And every time you click everything on the internet, it's like, hey, you know, and you know, we just did a, you know, 90 day, you know, hammer 90 challenge for the lean out stuff, which is fine. But you got to remember, we've spent years trying to put on as much muscle as possible and carry the highest amount of muscle possible.
Well, I was still trying to put on muscle during hammer 90.
Of course.
What I want to highlight, you said metabolic flexibility, mm-hmm. which is quick one liner, John.
Metabolic flexibility is your body's ability to seamlessly and effortlessly move between the use of both carbohydrates and fat as energy sources. And so it's a form like metabolic flexibility is to your autonomic functions in terms of using energy fuel sources as it is, we understand, athleticism.
And the program this gentleman is following is Johnny Watt, which if we got 60 minutes, you're very metabolic flexible because we got warm up, we got strength training, and then we got some metabolic conditioning.
Well, I had to cut the warm ups out of that. So Johnny Wad has no warm ups. Well, do you know why? Because people were complaining that they weren't able to get in and out in 45 minutes. So people want.
My heart just broke a little bit.
It does. But what I do is I have them throw Iron Flex in the front side if they need to warm up. But the whole theory of Johnny Wad is heavy, hard, fast, no cuddling. But if you want to. No, that's legitimately the tagline, heavy, hard, fast, no cuddling. And if you really want to get spicy on the backside, you stack a little Johnny Bod and then you get a little bodybuilding in.
How did I not know this?
Because Johnny Wad and Johnny Bod exist in a completely different realm
the universe. Of power. It's like DC and Marvel.
It is. And it's my universe. I don't let anybody into my universe. I don't let any. There's no Harry Heppenstall in my universe. There's all this stuff that you guys see out there is 100% my sense of humor, and I write it, and I think it's hilarious, and I love the program. But it's
I'm crying.
I've had people quit because there were way too many sexual innuendos. They felt triggered by the fact that I use a lot of sexual innuendos. I don't use any profanity, but I do make a lot, like, you know, like a lot of salty D wads.
Yeah. Old school CrossFit football training. Let's call it that, which requires carbohydrates. So
Sam,
that's the other part of the leaning.
Well, here's
it's not cutting out all carbs.
Here's an interesting thing. I'll talk to Sam about this. Like, this is something too that I was discussing with my wife. So there's a really interesting thing where I think if you're, and this is purely just observational, but I'm sure I could go find the research for it. But having worked with clients and you guys, and we've had this conversation, if you're like 20 to 30% body fat, right, and you're a little on the chunkier side, a low carb diet makes a lot of sense because, you know, you can end up stripping some fat away. But all of a sudden, after you get to a certain point where you're lean, to get leaner, you have to almost pull the fat and start adding the carbs back in. So you have to be lean enough, which is that part of the metabolic flexibility, and metabolic flexibility being based upon that idea of like carrying a high amount of muscle in relation to body fat. So when the body fat's low, your body can use more carbohydrates. And so I know as Sam got leaner, what did they do? They started pulling the fat and started adding the carbs. And all of a sudden that thermogenic effect went through the roof and you got super lean.
So yeah, like, and I would have like carb refeeds once a week where my carbs were like 200 grams. So they'd bump up my calories totally or completely. And then I'd be on like 200 grams of carbs. I felt amazing. And then the next day I went to the gym and I was like, I can go on for, you know, hours. Yeah. And then it wasn't until peak week, which I didn't even know what that was, but basically they cut carbs back out. So you're on a high protein, like low fat, low carb. It's really just a protein diet.
Which actually is really interesting because when you drop the carbs and you drop the fat and you just eat a high protein diet, your body ends up shedding water. It's muscle sparing. You shed water. And actually what happens is your body flattens and your muscles deflate. Okay.
I hated the way I looked. So it got to like Friday and I was like, I am just like a flat, muscle, skin, skeleton. And then the day of the show, it was like, you're just squirting like honey in your mouth and you're eating rice and a little bit of peanut butter and a little bit of chicken, just again, so you're not like starving or passing out on stage. But that was the only water manipulation we did, was high protein drink. I increased my water just a tad the week before or the week of the show. And then the day of the show, I just had sips and that was it.
Yeah,
no salt, nothing. So like that, nothing changed.
That high protein diet, that so you shed water, you get flat, and then what they do is they basically hit you with a bunch of carbs, and then the body absorbs all that water, and then the glycogen fills and the muscles fill up.
So our dude
is very cool.
Is heading into, we won't call it a peak week, we'll call it a beach peak.
Beach.
Don't do that.
Don't do that. That would only like a 5-day thing.
Well, yeah. And the other thing too is, and I'll just tell you this from personal experience, because I did this, this is when I was in the NFL, we were going to a Vegas pool party and we did a little bit of this because I trained with these bodybuilders. The only problem was when we got there, we had a drink and that was it. I was done. I had to go back to the room. So we showed up, I looked great, had a drink and I was done.
I had a cookie post show and we were like, oh, I'm going to have like a little bit of a cookie and then I'm going to get a burger. And because I was craving a burger over the sweets. And I literally was sitting at dinner, like my GI is so messed up right now. So I was in bed by like 8 o'clock after the show because my stomach hurts so bad.
So what can our dude do
so
to maximize beach week?
Well,
follow the leaning protocol.
Yeah. Follow the leaning protocol. Eat a high protein diet, train your fucking ass off. And you know what? To quote George Roberts' dad, George Roberts was one of my former teammates at Cal. George's dad was a pretty funny dude. George was is hysterical as well. I remember George Roberts' dad told him, "Hey Georgie, once you get a tan, even fat looks good tan."
Yeah. If you can't tone it, tan it.
So what he needs to do is eat a high protein diet and caloric restriction. He needs to bust his ass. And about 2 weeks out, he needs to start taking a shirt off, get a little bit of color. And, I don't recommend you go get spray tanned or shellacked. I do have a funny story about that. So when I lived in Tampa, we used to go over to St. Pete Beach and like go over there because there's all those beach bars. Mm-hmm. And so Raf, who is Filipino and like fucking tans like in like amazing color. Like the dude like takes off his shirt and is like instantly tan. And so like knowing how hot it was, like we would go to the beach and like, I don't like to get burned. So we're out there and we're like standing out there talking to all these people. And there was a girl who looked great, wearing a bikini, real tan. And after about 20 minutes, we realized that that wasn't her tan. That was a spray tan. Because as she was super, she was tan. No. She didn't put anything on. I think she thought that maybe the spray tan was protecting her. And it wasn't. And you could see her just getting redder and redder. And after about an hour, we were like, she was like a fucking lobster. And, but it was like, you couldn't, we were like, why is that girl so red underneath there? And then it was like, oh, it's a spray tan that's not helping her. And then that girl, like she, like all of a sudden was like, oh, I got to go inside. And she must have fucking like had heat stroke, like a sun poisoning. So moral of the story is, if you spray tan, you still got to use suntan or some sunblock. But go out, get a little bit tan, go swim in the pool, make sure you don't pop your shirt off and like look like you're pasty white, like you have, like you've never been there before. So
why'd you look at me when you said that?
Because I know how paranoid you are about getting tan. Yeah. McQuilkin comes from an Irish lineage where his clan was had to do with, I think it was the melanomas. The melanoma clan.
Melanomans.
Yeah. So he's very nervous on skin cancer. So like every time he go, like I've seen him with his shirt off maybe once. Yeah. And he's like the guy in the pool with like the fishing shirt on.
Yeah, there you go. It was it's the Hammer 90 photo, 30.
So
I think Tex might have had the best transformation on the Hammer 90.
Mark it, shut it down. That is the episode, guys.
I agree. Looking at the pictures, you by far had the best. I totally fucked myself because I went on a motorcycle ride. I was gone 10 days and then we immediately came back and went to Summer Strong. And then I went on with the family, the vacation for the beach. So it was pretty much like one training day in 20. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, I missed the mark on it. So I think you crushed it, dude. I mean, I haven't seen Sam's, but I'm hoping that there's a before and then the bikini picture. So we totally show that somebody went fucking all out. Like, that's what I'm hoping for, the before and afters. I haven't seen Rob's yet, but I'm guessing that Rob is going to throw in the towel because I know he just graduated from school.
Yeah. School and losing two coaches at the same time. Just like I was either doing school or doing the gym. So
I tried to give that to Harry. I was like, Harry, dude, I missed too much training time. He's like, send me a fucking picture right now. And I was like, okay. And I send it to him. And I'm like, there's not that much change. And he's like, I know. He's like, but I'm still putting him up and I'm going to embarrass you. I'm like, fine.
Shame.
Yeah, it's shame. You know what? I should have fucking. I mean, even Charles said it. He's like, dude, you missed too many days. You traveled too much.
Slim Charles.
I haven't seen Charles's pictures yet. I'm pretty excited for those.
It looks good too. You need to look at the Slack. Everyone's
are they up
there. It's good. Yeah.
Nice. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's definitely something to be said about it. I think when we launch it, I've been working through the logistics with Harry. I need to get you guys into this. What?
Well, I mean, these protocols that we're discussing and that we've applied
would be part of
shown the value. There's a lot. A lot of opportunity for people out there, and we're offering 20% discount at the moment, John.
Ooh. Well, I mean, what I'm excited for, and this is what I was...
With promo code Eat the Week.
So with W-E-A-K, capital Eat the Week, I've been trying to figure out a format on how to really do this. And what I think I might do is actually create the Hammer 90, and we'll do it like, we'll set a date to start, and then we'll actually set it up as a team and train Heroic, and then let them join that team. And then be able to monitor them that way. So if they post their pictures and how that's, we might actually do it in Train Heroic, which I think might be the best way to do it.
And they wouldn't, they'd be joining the Hammer 90 team, but then following on their team training.
Yeah. I mean, what we would do, and this is kind of the logistical aspect, because there are people that might come in who have no training in Train Heroic. I might put some workouts on the Hammer 90 and say, hey,
they got to follow the Powerlifting training program. Well,
they got to find a program. So maybe we just say to them, hey, you know what? You joined it and then you got to follow the program and then you got to do it. Yeah. So we have it all set up. But unfortunately, or fortunately, I think it really helps. I mean, man, life definitely throws some curveballs at you.
So this is the key thing. And it was cool. We just had a conversation with Dr. Michelle Seeger from University of Michigan about this. The focus is not eliminating, like an elimination diet, eliminating bad behaviors. eliminating alcohol, etc. It was the focus on adding good behaviors, adding good foods, tracking, tracking protein, tracking your nutrition, and then mindful meditation, adding journaling. So the opportunity to add positive behaviors, more beneficial than just focusing on what we have to eliminate, like Charles's bread over there that he consistently complained about.
I get that, but the one thing
the research shows, John.
The research shows, but I'll tell you this, and regardless of the research, I think the real key on the Hammer 90 was limiting the alcohol, because as Sam knows, and everybody here knows, that once you start having a drink, all of a sudden your ability to resist and, more importantly, make decisions. Like, what was good about Summer Strong when we were out there, you had a drink. There really was like no snack food or anything. But I have to think, if there was hors d'oeuvres or like something at the tables, you would have been like, I'm going to slay
pretzels.
If there was pretzels or like chips, like I kind of like it. Summer Strong, like there's no finger foods. So like we have a couple of drinks. We're like, I'm fine on this. But like, I think that's a big issue, especially if you go out and socially. And that's what killed Nico. You know, making
Nico's still alive, everyone.
Well,
he's no longer an intern here.
Well, he's no longer an intern, and I haven't gotten his pictures. So the Chorito, as he's become known, he's like a little choro, the Chorito, as Harry calls him.
That picture. Harry
Shaw.
So funny.
Yeah, Harry Shaw. Dude, we went to Summer Strong with Harry, Andrew, and Nico. And dude, it was really funny. Those guys were funny to be around. But I think Nico was like, dude, I can't, you know, I'm 23. I live with my brothers. Like, we're going to go out and have some drinks. And I'm like, I'm not mad at you having drinks. I'm just mad at what happens after you have the drinks. And he's like, yeah, no, we crashed and burned on that.
Tito's Club Soda.
Which is fine. That's fine. It's not like you got to go out and slam a bunch of beers. But I think what happens is you got to, like, when you start drinking, your inhibitions get lowered and you make bad decisions.
For the masses, I think that's
good. Yeah, no, I'm speaking from personal experience. I make bad decisions. Yeah. You know?
Well, you got to have a plan. So how
I think we have a podcast on alcohol, don't we?
We did. I have to pull that number real quick. But what I'm saying is, let's say Friday night we're going out, but then I schedule or I sign up for an 8 a.m. yoga class or pickleball or something that is physical activity, that if I choose to drink more than two, well, my performance and morning will suffer.
What I like to do is I like to drink wine. Because one, like, it's more like 4 ounces of wine is equal to like one shot. So if I can drink more wine, and I also somehow feel like wine is like my exchange in carbohydrates. Like, hey, if I know I got to eat, you know, 150 grams of carbohydrates today, and I can kind of back into it and kind of free it up to be like, all right, I need to have two glasses of wine, and I'm a cheap date, more than two glasses of wine, and I'm passed out. Did I tell you my theory? I'm allergic to alcohol. I think I'm allergic to alcohol now.
Yeah, me too.
Because as soon as I have a drink, instantly, I just feel tired and I want to go lay down. So I think I'm allergic to it. I think I finally have made myself allergic to alcohol.
Is that what happened at Summer Strong?
Yeah, I just get real tired. Did I fall asleep at the table?
No, y'all kept going. I was impressed.
Well, it's because your husband's a talker. It's because your husband's a talker.
Well, I did have to drive him home.
Well, he's a lightweight now. Lost all that weight.
He is real skinny. We're both lightweight. I know. He's
Well, I mean, the funny part is he couldn't deadlift 300 pounds.
He did 455, and then I think last week he jumped up to like he did 515 for something. And I was like, you should have just gone on the platform.
Did he deadlift on the platform at Sonics?
No, it was his deload week, and so he didn't want to.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, mine too.
No,
it's my deload. I'm going to send my wife out there to show me up. I love deloads.
No, he's supporting me. He was like, I don't think I've seen that look on your face since our wedding. And I was like, I haven't been this pumped since our wedding.
It was awesome. Cool. No, it was great. You fucking exploded. To reiterate, don't fear protein. Like wherever you found that, I need you to just to like fucking burn that to the ground, smash it. That doesn't exist. That is one of those nasty internet rumors that'll just keep going around that has no basis. Grown men eat at least 200 grams of protein at, you know, like, I mean, that dude, like, I've never met a dude. I mean, I'm assuming, but like, I mean, my son eats 125 grams of protein a day to up to 140 grams and he's six. Not that I'm calling him a little kid, but I'm just saying it's very reasonable. It's very doable. And all you have to do is just go on and back into it.
Three meals. Is jerky an option?
Sure.
Like candy snack?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hard-boiled eggs.
Hard-boiled eggs. Yeah.
Those are good. If you don't want the fat, I'm working on like just egg salad with egg white idea. So I'm going to probably post that soon.
So the other one too is I don't like whey protein shakes either, but there's a beef protein that I like that's pretty good. And I do the beef protein and it's got almost no sugar in it. It's like 1 gram of carbohydrate and it's beef protein. And I think that's pretty tasty.
All right. And so he's following our leaning protocol. We gave some options. If people want to dive into any of our nutrition protocols, we're offering 20% off with code EATTHEWEEK, all caps. Head to powerathletehq.com/nutrition. And
if you guys,
what are our protocol options?
So we have a bulking, we have a leaning, and then we have the keto protocol, which is a modified ketogenic diet, which is kind of carb cycling. But the one that I'm going to push, which I think is really good, is called a performance protocol, where you actually buy it and then you get a consult and you have Sam or Rob custom design you your template based on your needs. So I think there's some off-the-shelf solutions we found to be extremely beneficial, and people have gotten a lot of mileage out of it. I think the more customized, detailed approach with Sam and Rob is really a home run too. So it just depends on how dialed you want to get it. And I know they do those a ton. And as I go through them, I think they're really excellent.
And Tex is a great testament to that. And you can see what you can do in 12 weeks.
Yeah, custom.
Customizations,
right? Specific training, specific nutrition, specific results.
What do you think the biggest change for you was? Was it the meditation or the journaling or the weeping yourself to sleep every night?
Why'd you pick those three?
Well, I figured, you know, like you look pretty dehydrated. I just figured there was a lot of weeping involved.
Oh no, it was the booze easily. So then you cut out that but then it's finding reasons to get up early and get out and about.
Yeah.
And a step tracker. I'm not much of a watch person. I hate them, but committed to this so I can eye my activity and days that we didn't have lacrosse practice, still shooting for the 11,000 steps, which is 6 miles from my getaway sticks. Mm-hmm. So walking the dogs and hitting those just consistently. And then Dave Spitz even commented, and that's one of his go-tos daily, is at least 10,000 steps, key to health.
Yeah.
From an expert. But yeah, the alcohol and then filling in with more positive health experiences to get out and about and reasons not to.
Nice. Well, there you had it first. So thanks for tuning in to another episode of Power Athlete Radio.
Bye.
Bye. Now it's time for you to empower your performance. Head to powerathletehq.com/training to choose from a number of programs to meet your specific performance goals. And if you like to break a mental sweat too, visit academy.powerathletehq.com and become a real stakeholder in you or your athlete's success. Until next time, bye!
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.